And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries. As we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media, this is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family or business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day. Very focused show. We'll chat about items that affect the roof over your head, your bank account, and anything I feel would benefit you. Before we get into our intriguing content today, please join me in welcoming. Actually, we're going to have a featured guest to welcome this morning. You start getting into doing some of the radio programs on a regular basis, and you kind of get into auto mode, I guess is it. But let me remind you, if you ever have any home or finance-related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it. While I do have a great team when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work with you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone. Future reference, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. And yes, of course, we celebrate every day on Ron Siegel Radio, but some days some of the technology just does not want to let us share with you what we are celebrating. Today happens to be one of those days. For some reason, the national day calendar seems to have some battles with me, so it doesn't always want to show up, and it doesn't always want to tell me what we want to know. Sometimes we just end up having to skip over to the next item on our agenda, see what's going on in the markets. We're watching the markets on a regular basis right now. The markets, and you know, here's the issue, is I'm not a big fan of ever wanting to see where we're going to gain or we're going to get what we want from the markets because of negativity in the world. Just not a fan of that. I'd like to see interest rates be at a low and attractive level, but not because we're seeing geopolitical unrest like we're having in the Middle East right now, like it's in the Middle East many, many times. We don't want to see that, but it is there. So we need to be cognizant of what's happening. We need to be cognizant of what that means for you, what it means for your family. It becomes very, very important to understand those things. So we do watch them just for your benefit. I'd just like to share that part with you. We also watch and see, hey, what's going on in the news? What are the news items of the day? Can we benefit from something that's happening in the news? Can we profit from it? You know, somebody's going to profit from these items. So why shouldn't we be the ones that profit from the items? Why shouldn't we be the ones that are going to go out there and make some money, understanding what is happening? As long as we understand what's happening, we understand where the world is taking us. You know, you go and you just say, okay, well, if I can help my family a little bit because of accepting a little bit of opportunity, that might be the key to it right there. Get a little bit of opportunity. We never know when opportunity is going to present itself. So we want to be sure that when it does present itself, we are in position for that. So we watch. That's why we watch some of these news items so closely for you. Today, I look at the celebrations, National Bobblehead Day. Do we really want to be celebrating bobbleheads? Unless you have one of your own, I'm going to say, yeah, probably not. Let's take a look at what else we might be celebrating. Having beaten anorexia, I'm going to look and we're going to celebrate National Tempura Day. So we do have National Tempura Day to celebrate. Happened to one of my computers here, just lost a signal on that one. So So we're going to see if we can get that back up and running. It's early in the year, and maybe that's why the computers are saying, you know, Ron, we gotta stay a little slower than what we've been doing along the way. So let's take a look and see what the markets are doing. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 105 points as we speak right now. I'm just got a blank screen on that one as well. The S&P 500 down 853. The NASDAQ up 626. So we're going a little bit of different directions on some of these. What is driving the market? Well, we're seeing that the Dow is down. Seeing losses from Chevron and Merck shares are helping bring down the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So we're watching that for you. They're all, the stocks, though, are still near record highs. Wall Street's trying to shake off Middle East worries right now. Do we need to worry about the Middle East? Now, just remember, when you're watching the news, they're probably not going to tell you some of the things that you're going to hear on Ron Siegel Radio. So when you hear that there was a million people out in the streets, yeah, there was a million people out in the streets in Tehran yesterday for the funeral, but they're told that they have to be. If they don't go out in the middle of the street and do their protests, well, maybe they're not going to get to see the light of day tomorrow. So just remember, some of those things are not always as they appear, or there's more to the story than what meets the eye. So that's just a word of caution. It's kind of like the Middle Eastern version of fake news that's out there. They're just not all straight up on what's going on. Let's see what we've got in today's morning briefing. Obviously, the big area where we constantly see that the Middle East, why is it? I don't get it. They get mad at the U.S., so they attack Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu has come out and said Iran better watch out, that they better stay out of Israel. They don't want to be part of the fallout from the U.S. killing of Soleimani, which is probably a good thing. I would suggest it is a good thing. But Israel can handle their own. They've got a pretty good strike force there. Watching that one for you. The idea also coming out of the Middle East being the concept of cyber attacks. Well, we already know that the U.S. has some methods of retaliation from a cyber area. Can you say, was it Spuxnet was the issue that came about way back when? So we do know that we've got some capabilities there. The U.S. has a lot more capabilities than we ever want to tell anybody. I'm kind of laughing when I hear the media and the Democrats coming out and saying, well, we want to know exactly what the intelligence was that President Trump acted on. No, we don't. We don't need to know that. Now, there are some of the non-leakers, some of the people like not, you know, excluding Lack of Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, because you know he's a leaker. But some of the key people in the Congress, yeah, they should understand that. They should understand what's going on there. Moving right along in the morning briefing, Bernie Sanders compares President Trump taking out Soleimani to Putin assassinating dissidents. Really, Bernie? You think you're going to be president by talking that way? What should we expect in a Bernie Sanders administration if there's actionable intelligence to tell us that there's going to be an imminent threat against the United States? If Bernie Sanders knew ahead of time that we would have another 9/11, should we just expect that he would do absolutely nothing? Just throw that out there. GOP senators moved to dismiss the articles of impeachment amid a battle with Speaker Pelosi. Well, she hasn't sent the articles over, so I guess that's no imminent threat coming out of the president, because she's been sitting on those articles since the 18th of December. If there was an imminent threat, don't you think that she would have wanted those to get into the House of to the United States Senate as quickly as possible so they could deal with this threat that she's telling us about? Wouldn't that make sense to you? Seems logical to me that if there's something that's imminent and we've got a president that is a danger or is not following the Constitution, we would be getting on that really quick. But yes, that's not the case. Yesterday, also in the news, said National Security Advisor John Bolton said he would testify in an impeachment trial against the president. I wonder if that would be good or bad for the president, being that Mr. Bolton pretty much feels that he's that right along, that the president has not gone far enough. So that'll be a fascinating one to watch as well. What else do we have in the briefing? New charges against Harvey Weinstein. That'll be fascinating to watch. Gadgets galore in Las Vegas, one of the world's largest celebrations of cutting-edge technology. That is the Consumer Electronics Show, a fun place to go if you've never been to that electronics show. You're going to see all of the newest technology there. Great one there. Jeopardy, the greatest of all time, kicks off tonight, putting the three highest-winning champions against each other. That's more their business. Borden Dairy Company files for bankruptcy after 163 years. 163 years in business, and they're filing for bankruptcy. Guess you gotta stay with the times on that. Yeah, a little painful there. What else do we have in the morning briefing? In a surprise move, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo turns down 2020 run for Kansas Senate seat. Julian Castro, former Obama housing chief, recently ended his presidential bid. Endorses the socialist Elizabeth Warren, a reported 35 people dead, almost 50 injured, during a stampede during the funeral procession for Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. 6.4 magnitude earthquake in Puerto Rico. A lot going on right now. We're watching all of it for you. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, we've got a great broadcast lined up for you today. Big demand for small homes. We're going to talk about that. We're going to also talk about tips for battling holiday debt. And we have got it today. We've got the 2020 forecast, a new decade, and a more in the real estate world. So we're going to talk about that one with you as well. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter at Ron Siegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel the numeral 1 on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few.
techno expert, Ron Siegel. Now, here's Ron.
Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Mortgage Minute today being brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you're ready for that next mortgage, Gold Star has the programs and the products. You just need to make the phone call. Again, 800-306-1990. Give me a call, put you in touch with the right folks at the team. They're happy to help at any time. What is happening in the markets? The S&P 500 down almost 8 points as we speak. We'll look and see the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 93 points. NASDAQ up almost 11 points. 10-year Treasury 1.81 is flat, and the mortgage-backed securities down just a little bit. They're down 2 basis points. Not really enough to worry about or to discuss, because it has really no effect on the mortgages at that point. But that's all stuff you can find on that super secret website, google.com. But what do you need to know? What's driving this? That's what you listen to Ron Siegel Radio for. The circle of violence, again, between the U.S. and Iran, remain in focus. You hope and pray that it won't escalate to anything too serious, but there seems to be a movement towards a retaliatory move against the U.S. While that would be a terrible thing, it's my job to tell you how that would affect the markets. If that were to happen, there would likely be a flight to quality into bonds at the expense of stocks. That's good for the housing market. Stocks are slightly lower, mortgage bonds trading near unchanged levels so far. Quiet economic news front with only the ISM non-manufacturing index was reported this morning. Tomorrow we get the ADP employment report, and they're calling for that one 157,000 jobs. Friday, we're gonna get the big jobs report. That's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Two different companies reporting basically the same data, but they have differing sources. They get the information from different places. So that's why you're going to get different data from each of those. That is the Mortgage Minute, again, brought to you by our friends at Gold Star Mortgage. When you're ready for that next mortgage, Gold Star has the programs and the products. You need to just give me a call at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. So I shared with you yesterday that I was going to give you a forecast of what we're anticipating for what we're projecting for 2020. Where are we going with this market? What are we going to be doing in this market? And I'm going to give you a whole idea of what we're sharing out there in the marketplace. What are the dynamics of this? We obviously have the Fed, don't say quantitative easing, but they're buying back their balance sheet is growing again, so I don't know what you want to call it. I would call it quantitative easing. That's what we're seeing going on from the Federal Reserve. Trade deals. We've got two big trade deals. One of them we're looking at in the Senate coming up. They're marking it up right now in committee. It already passed through the House of Representatives. So that would be the USMCA. That's the replacement for NAFTA. So that's a big issue. January 15th. We're going to see the president sign the deal with China. So that is another big trade deal. We've been watching trade deals all year long. Another big item on the agenda this year, presidential election. That we've got to watch out for. What does that mean for interest rates? What does that mean for the markets? What does that mean for volatility? Also looking at the stock market, greed, high valuations. I am going to share with you something that we don't hear about a lot, but back in the late 90s, early 2000, does anybody remember those days? Do you remember what the markets were like then? Do you remember what our water cooler talk was? It was basically, what are you in? What are you buying? What are you doing? And a lot of times when we see that happening, we understand that when those type of issues come up, well, it becomes serious. It becomes an issue that we have to watch out for, because whenever we see that happening, it generally means that the market is ready for a correction, ready to turn the other way. There's so many people that are in the market right now because the market has been going in one direction only. So we're going to watch out for that one. Housing, inventory, affordability, demand, children. Let me chat with that about a little bit. Recession probability and indicators. What does that mean for real estate? Where are interest rates going? And I am going to share with you that we work as mortgage strategists. I really don't look at the idea here of just selling a mortgage. You can go fintech is great for that. If you want to just go on there and see if you understand everything there is to understand, if you know all the 37 items that go into loan level price adjusters for your mortgage, hey, go to one of those online services, Quicken, Rocket Mortgage, whoever you want to go to. If you don't understand those 37 loan level price adjusters and how they might affect you, if you don't understand where the markets are going, and what you might be able to save $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 right now, and then do it again later this year, you might want to get a mortgage strategist. That's what the team at the Siegel Lending Team does for you. So let's get started taking a look at the Federal Reserve. Obviously, they cut three times in 2019 after they realized that they overdid it in 2018. They went too far. They should not have cut quite as much. So 2019, they cut the interest rates three times there. What are they going to do this time, this year? Well, the answer there is we are expecting the Fed funds to stay pretty much where it is right now for the year 2020. Not going to be a whole lot. The key will be, what is the Federal Reserve going to do with Treasury bills? That's where the quantitative easing has been coming in. You can see what the Fed's balance sheet has looked like. If you look through 2019, the end there, that's on the chart showing, you can actually see that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, I don't know if you're able to see everything that we have there on the screen, but as of September 2019, the Fed's balance sheet hit the low. And all of a sudden, it starts growing again. Well, when it starts growing again, what that's really telling you is the Federal Reserve is buying treasuries. They're buying more of those securities. When they're buying those securities, that's what's ending up increasing their balance sheet. That's quantitative easing, no matter what they want to tell you. When the Fed stops that quantitative easing, it's going to have a major move in the marketplace. The debt levels are extremely high right now. We know that with our level of amount of borrowing, the federal deficit, the federal debt. Deficit and debt, not the same thing. Deficit is what's going on right now this year. Debt is how much is accumulated over the years. What's about $22 trillion in debt. Very, very high right now. Foreign nations have become net sellers. For the most part, they're buying into our treasuries, they're getting rid of some of our treasuries. Their economies are not doing real well. So if their economies are not doing well, what are they doing? Well, they're selling our bonds. Who's buying it? Well, the Federal Reserve is buying it. I just told you that. And here's something that you're also not going to be hearing about. There is a rotation of the voting members of the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee. So we've got voting members from 2019 that are going out. That would be Eric Rosengren, Chicago's Charles Evans, Kansas City's Esther George, St. Louis's James Muller. They're going out. Now, what is going to happen when those guys go out is they're going to be replaced with people that are a little bit more dovish. So in 2020, Cleveland's Loretta Mester is coming in. She's hawkish. She doesn't like the idea of lowering interest rates. Philly's Patrick Harper, Dallas, Robert Kaplan, and Minneapolis's Neil Kashkari, very, very dovish. So we're going to be seeing a more dovish, a more favorable committee for the idea of keeping interest rates low. Good thing for those in the real estate market. So that is the concept there of the Federal Reserve trade deal. We discussed the idea of the trade deal. That's going to be very, very important in the moving, or that was very, very important in the movements of 2019. Every time China said something, you could watch the market drop. Every time the president made a comment, the market went back up. Phase one of the deal, less substantive than hoped. Hoping for $25 billion reduction, got about a $9 billion reduction. Phase two, it'll be more difficult, will be influenced by the election outlook. I think what we're going to end up seeing is if it looks like President Trump will be reelected, China will come to the table. If it looks like President Trump will not be reelected, China will delay, which is what they've tried to do as much as possible. Big item on the agenda still is the intellectual property remaining a challenging point. We're going to continue our conversation about the elections when we come back. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. When we come back, big demand for small homes, tips for battling holiday debt, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or RonSiegelRadio.com. Connect with us, Facebook.com/RonSiegelRadio. On Twitter, at Ron Siegel, and if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel, the numeral 1, on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That is my message, and I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The real-time real estate segment today being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text Nest, NEST, to 795-64. Find your dream home before someone else does. Nest, NEST, 795-64. You already found your dream home. We've got that solution for you as well. How to find out what the county recorder knows all about your property. Find out what the market thinks about your property. Text SLT Home Digest to 795-64. SLT Home Digest, 795-64. Big demand for small homes. Movies, TV shows, and celebrities often have us dreaming of owning large homes. But the reality for most people is quite different. Since 2015, the square footage of newly built houses has been shrinking, according to Yahoo Finance. This is not projected to change as we continue into the beginning of the year. Quote, we expect this downsizing trend to continue in 2020, driven by the confluence of economic and demographic trends, unquote. Why are smaller homes trending now? As noted in the article, there are a few main reasons for this demand. Quote, many of today's younger millennial home buyers have expressed a preference for denser, more urban homes that are more walkable to shared amenities. Also, today's older homeowners are expressing a desire for smaller, less maintenance heavy, and more accessible, less stairs, homes as they age and move into newer homes. With these two demographic groups surging through the market, demand for this type of home is rising. If you're a homeowner with a smaller scale house, now may be a great time to sell, as demand for this end of the market is surely on the rise. Bottom line, the demand for smaller houses will continue to rise throughout 2020. Let's chat, let's get together and discuss what the housing inventory looks like in your neighborhood. It might be time for you to take advantage of this trend, and I will share with you, it is amazing to me how quickly properties are selling at top dollar right now. There are it's amazing, the properties that are going on the market. If you've got a property and you've just been contemplating selling, now is the time to take action for you and your family. That's the Real Time Real Estate segment, again, brought to you by the Area Trusted Real Estate Professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text NEST, NEST, to 795-64, find your dream home before someone else does. So we are looking, for some reason the screen is not coming up right now, but we're gonna try and get the real estate and mortgage forecast back up on the screen for you. I don't know why it's not showing up, but I'll see if I can get that corrected. There it's right there, so let's see if it'll come up. If it'll wake up on us right now, maybe it'll wake up for me to share that with you. But the next item on our, we talked about the trade deal, so that's, we'll put that out of the way a little bit. But let's look at what's after that on our agenda, the election, right? So President Trump is still remaining as the favorite. Equity markets would prefer to perform better if it looks as if President Trump will win and become more erratic if a Trump victory is in doubt. Vice President Biden is the early frontrunner for the Democrats, but Warren or Sanders' emergence as a viable threat to Trump would cause significant market turmoil. A lot of people have said that, especially the wealthy, that they're going to move out of the country, or they're going to move their assets out of the country. What does that mean? Well, if they move their assets out of the country, they're going to basically sell the stock market. They sell the stock market, they move their assets into another country that doesn't have the socialist feel of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. It's going to cause a major drop. Anytime you've got more supply than demand, prices drop. As President Trump's chances for re-election grew, so will his resolve on negotiating tougher trade deals. So right while he's negotiating, or while he's I wouldn't say a lame duck is not the right word, but he's in this election or time of uncertainty for the next year, well, then he has to really temper things. But if he wins, or if it looks like he's going to win that re-election, and full disclosure, I believe he probably will, but if he wins, looks like he's going to win that, he can then get much tougher because he's not trying to get reelected. He can't run for a third term. So he would be, then he would start looking and saying, okay, you know something? He can be even tougher on the deal. So we might see toward the end of this year, some of these other countries come back to the table in a better way or a stronger way. Stocks is the next item. Price earnings ratio is very high. QE giving stocks a lift. We've talked about that. The quantitative easing as they continue, the Federal Reserve continues putting more money in, keeping interest rates down. We see that going on. Eventually, pullbacks in stocks will help the bonds. So when money comes in, when the stock market starts going dropping, where do people put their money? Well, they don't want to put it in those 10-year treasuries that are getting them a 1.7, 1.8 yield. They're going to go into the bond market. And extreme greed on the fear greed index, in contrast to extreme fear last year, people get greedy. What does Warren Buffett say? When people are greedy, get out of the market. When people are scared, get into the market. Blood on the streets, get into the market. That's a Warren Buffett commentary. Housing market, the rise in affordability due to wage gains. So here's the issue. Prices on real estate are going up, but we've got wages also going up and interest rates going down. So that is good for affordability. Appreciation depends on the relative price. We know, understand that. Rents are going up. You're going to be paying for housing somewhere. So are you going to pay your mortgage or are you going to pay somebody else's mortgage? That's the question mark for you. And right now, as I mentioned earlier, we've got unbelievably low amounts of inventory. There's not a lot of houses on the market. And when something hits the market, it sells very, very quickly. So we've been watching that, and you can take a look at the chart that I'm sharing on the screen right now. You can see that we have a record low inventory on the units available for sale. As of the first quarter 2019, latest data we had for this, 1.9 million units, new and existing single family inventory, the percentage of households, 3.8 is the peak. You can see that on there, on the report, on that graph right there. Millennials living at home. So here's a big issue is when we see the millennials, the young people, the oldest millennials are 39 years old, they're still living at home, and you can see how that amount has grown over the years. But what is the catalyst for those millennials to get out there and become first-time home buyers? Well, when they're living at home, we can see that 38% live at home. But that's going to be of the single millennials. When they get married and have children, 80% of them are going to buy a house. 82% when they've got more than two or more children. So think about that is what's driving this market is we've had a lot of millennials living with their parents. That's not going to continue all forever. And if you look and see where the search terms are, we know what people are looking at and who's looking at what. In 2008, you look at the search registry, 45 there for the weddings, and you see how that changed through 2019. You can also look and you see the baby registry, how that's changed over the years as well. So people are starting to look as a baby. Well, we just shared with you on the prior chart that if you've got a baby, if the couple has a baby, 80% of the time they're wanting to start their own household. So we're seeing that idea right there, and Google gives us the answer. Now the question we got to ask when we come back is, what about the concept of a recession? Do we have to worry about a recession? Is there a recession on the horizon? Markets. We'll also talk about some of the ideas for battling holiday debt, all that and more. You can reach me anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter @ Ron Siegel, And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, Ron Siegel, the number one on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Bit of money, maybe even a lot of money on that holiday debt. That is our discussion. Tips for battling holiday debt once the season ends. Obviously, that debt hangover can be very real. Those who get carried away during the festivities of the season, but whether you tend to overspend when you're holiday shopping for the people you love or splurge on seasonal trappings and comfort foods coming into the new year with holiday debt, doesn't have to cripple your money management for the new year. Here are some sources, some solutions for you. Number one, consider applying for a balance transfer card. How you recover financially after the holidays depends in part on your overall financial situation and credit score. If you you can swing an approval for a balance transfer card. This might be a good move in helping you curtail holiday debt. Make sure you're looking for a card that has no introductory APR, balance transfers. You got to be careful of those. Sometimes you can have a 3-5% transfer fee. But remember, the big issue when you do that transfer, don't get caught up with the idea of spending money on that old card that you just transferred off of and building your debt. Number two, reduced interest charges by paying holiday credit card debt early. Not everyone may qualify for a balance transfer card. That's okay. There are other ways to pay down holiday credit card debt quickly by paying as much and as early as possible. You help reduce the amount of interest you're charged. Interest accrues daily on credit card balances by making your payment as early as possible. In your statement cycle, you reduce the balance for future debts. That means you can pay that bill twice a month if you get paid twice a month. Number three, create a realistic plan for zeroing out holiday debt. Number four, find one thing you can give up temporarily to pay off debt faster. Number five, consider a debt consolidation loan. And the biggie here, number six, plan ahead for the next season to avoid a repeat. You don't want to get into that same debt next year, so make sure you're watching that so that, you know, you can learn from bad habits. You don't want to get into the same bad habit again and then find out next year we're dealing with the same issue. That is the Your Credit Matters segment, again, brought to you by our friends at CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. What are you doing about it? Continuing our conversation on the 2020 forecast, next item on the forecast, we are hearing folks talk about the concept of, are we going to be going into a recession next year? Or this year, I guess now, I'm talking about it for so long, it seems like it's next year. But will there be a recession at the end of 2020? Maybe, but it might be delayed into 2021 due to financial engineering. What does financial engineering mean? Well, that means the Federal Reserve is out there buying back bonds, buying back to keep that yield curve the way they want it. So that's the financial engineering that we are chatting about. We are on the longest expansion on record. Love this concept. I just heard this one the other day, that we've never seen an expansion die of old age. There's a catalyst that kills the expansion. What will that catalyst be? Well, we keep on watching. Manufacturing has been struggling a little bit, so that could be. Shipments have been declining. The yield curve was inverted prior to the Federal Reserve getting involved and kind of artificially changing that. Key metrics will be an uptick in initial jobless claims and the unemployment rate. We've talked about that one in the past. Always we see that when the unemployment starts going up, not by, you know, a tenth of a percent, when unemployment starts going up, that does tell us when we're going to be getting closer and closer to a recession. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. When a recession eventually comes, rates will significantly decline. We've been talking about that one for a while as well, so we're going to continue that. But here's the chart I wanted you to see about unemployment and recessions. And if you look on this chart, and I don't think that I can highlight it on the screen for you, I sometimes wonder why we can never get that built into this. But every recession going back to 1950 has seen an increase in the unemployment rate. You think that the people get laid off, but an increase in the unemployment rate tells us every single time what's going to happen with a recession. Well, when you look at the graph that I'm sharing with you right now, does it appear to you that we're closer to high unemployment or low unemployment? Obviously, we are closer to the low end of the unemployment scene. So we know it's coming. It's just a question, when are we going to get there? So rates, we're going to be watching for interest rates will go down during a recession. Reasonably low inflation, we're seeing that. Stocks, we've talked about that. Global yields, we've talked about that one as well. Take a look at the global 10-year yield on government bonds. And you can see right now that as of the time we prepared this presentation, U.S. 10-year bond was at 1.87. It's right around 1.8, 1.78 right now. But take a look on the far right. Right, Japan, negative interest rate. Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland, all negative interest rates. Well, what are they going to do with their money if they've got negative interest rates? They're going to send their money here. That's the whole idea. So that's part of the reason why we want to be dealing with your mortgage from the standpoint of a loan strategist, right? And if you make the wrong decision, well, you know, some of you could live with the wrong decision, but here's the idea, is if you make the wrong decision, it's just going to cost your family thousands of dollars, right? Why is that? Well, the concept is very, very simple. If you go and you take out a mortgage right now and you pay points, points are not bad. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to ever pay points. Well, why not? If you've got at a very, very low interest rate, you know, if we get down to where we're projecting that interest is going to be in the low 3% range, and it doesn't look like they can go much lower, why not buy that? And you have a long-term horizon in your property. Why not buy your mortgage payment down? Points equal buying down your payment, your monthly payment. It's not a bad idea when we get to the bottom of that interest rate channel. We're not at the bottom of the interest rate channel right now. So I would suggest to you, it's not the right time for you to be buying down your interest rate. That's not the purpose of where we're at right now. So don't do it. We are also at a point where we might be looking at refinancing again in a very, very short time period. So why would you want to pay any kind of fees if you can possibly get away from the fee conversation? So our whole focus then becomes, how do we strategize to be in the right place for you for this coming year? The idea then becomes, hey, let's get a no point, no fee, no cost loan. And when you get that no point, no fee, no cost loan, yes, your interest rate is a slight amount higher. But if you can save $3,000 or $4,000 on your loan, maybe $5,000 on your loan, and I'm just going to do this for round numbers because it's easy, I'm a simple guy, you can spend an extra $50 a month to make that happen. Well, here's the thought process. You've got $5,000 divided by 50. That's 100 months. 7.5 years is your break even. So if we call you up and your strategist says 18 months from now, hey, let's do it again, and you didn't pay for anything to have it done the first time, and you can save more money a second time around, why wouldn't you do that? Right? That's the idea of having a strategy in place. That's working with a financial planner, that's working with a tax planner, that's working with a CPA. You've got to have your trust attorney on board because we want to minimize every possible amount of taxes from both a tax standpoint today and taxes in the future. All of those things come into play as part of a tax strategy, as part of your mortgage strategy, as part of your home loan strategy. That is the forecast for this year. You have been listening to Ron Siegel Radio. And as always, I ask you, set that first radio preset button to come back here and join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors. A big thanks to John, who's engineering us today. And of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions or meet any of our guests, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. And remember, make a lot of money so you can help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Have a great day. We will talk to you next time.